Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
I won't let my active psoriatic arthritis joint symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. Tremfya guselkumab is proven to significantly reduce joint pain, stiffness, and swelling in adults with active psoriatic arthritis. Some patients even reported less fatigue as assessed by survey 1 week prior. Results may vary. Tremfya is taken by injection 6 times a year after 2 starter doses at week 0 and 4.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
From muddy jungle paths to snowy trails to rolling sand dunes, the 2024 Nissan Pathfinder is ready to take you to some of the most phenomenal destinations on Earth. In a Pathfinder, it's more than just the arrival. The real excitement comes from the ride to get there. With 7 drive modes, Pathfinder's available intelligent 4-wheel drive is built for some of the most epic journeys. So chase bigger, better, more exciting adventures in the 2024 Nissan Pathfinder. Intelligent 4-wheel drive cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
What's going on, everyone? Trust the Buzz here. If you're new to the channel, I make Charlotte Hornets content, so if that interests you, make sure you go ahead and hit that subscribe button down below. If you cannot tell by the thumbnail title of this video, the Charlotte Hornets beat the Atlanta Hawks in their first regular season game of the 2023-2024 season. Now, it was not a game without its ups and downs. There were times where I thought this team was going to throw it away. Felt like we struggled with putting our foot on the gas and keeping it there. However, they proved me wrong, at least in the end. They really started to put things together thanks to actually 2 huge threes by our rookie, Brandon Miller. We're going to, you know how I do when we talk about, you know, post game. I go through every single player, also throw in a little bit about the other team as well. So, yeah, I mean, enjoy the ride. Get your snacks ready because what a game. What a game. It started off pretty good with the starters in there. I thought the defense was okay. The Hawks are just hitting some tough shots. I know DeJounte Murray was getting like some early middies. Trae Young, actually, I think Terry Rozier, for the most part, did a pretty good job of guarding Trae Young, even though Trae Young was getting some of the craziest whistles I've ever seen. But early on, it looked rough considering the defense was what it was. The defense, I think, was good. They were just getting some easy shots. Well, they weren't easy shots. They were just shots that were going in. But then I think, you know, as far as our offense, Terry Rozier struggled a little bit. I think he started off like 1 for 4. LaMelo had in a horrendous shooting game, which we'll talk about. But PJ Washington early and often was just hitting his shots. He was this little mid-range floater he's got. It's working. It's doing wonders. And then Mark Williams as well, just dominating the paint in both ways. So I it was a great game. I'm almost at a loss for words. But let's just go ahead and break it down player by player. Kind of quarter by quarter, we'll see. But yeah, for the first player I want to talk about, let's just go ahead and talk about LaMelo. Let's go ahead and get that out of the way. So on Twitter, I said that, and I thought it was really going to get canceled. I thought everybody was going to like comment, but you don't know what you're talking about. But at halftime, I was like, this is the worst I've ever seen LaMelo play. And by far, it was. I've never seen LaMelo play that bad when it comes to shooting. And I probably could have worded that better by saying this is probably one of the worst shooting performances I've seen by him. His shooting was just all over the place. He did turn over the ball a few times early on, too. The whole team did. That was something that, starting off, we just had way, way too many turnovers. It was frustrating because it was like cross-the-court passes. It was ill-advised passes. As much as I just raved about PJ, he had a couple of them. Terry Rozier had a couple of them. I think Gordon Hayward had a few of them, too. But overall, we were just turning the ball over left and right. Brandon Miller was losing the ball at times. He got minutes early too, so that was good. That was good to kind of see, but LaMelo just did not look himself as far as like hitting his shot. Everything else was fine. His playmaking was fine. Rebounding was fine. You know, the whole thing that goes with just being a point guard to me seemed fine. He was just taking very bad shots, and LaMelo is someone who he continued to take those bad shots, but he makes them, and you know normally that's the case. In the first half, it didn't seem like he knew when to stop, but when we go into that second half, he knew, okay, like, this isn't time for it. In the first half, it didn't seem like he had that. That was going through his mind. And that's one of the things I actually love about LaMelo is that he's going to forget. If he makes a mistake or he has a bad shooting slump, it's not going to really affect him mentally. But at some point, you do have to think about it. And I think in the second half, he did that. And I think that allowed his game to come to him a lot more. I think he was trying to take it. But in this scenario, when you have guys like Terry, who was kind of heating up, you know, like I said, PJ was doing his thing. Martin was kind of doing his thing on the block. I think that you're okay with kind of, hey, let me just let the game come to me. Right now, my guys are holding it down. I'm the one struggling. Let the game come to me. And I think he did that a lot in the second half, and it opened up everything. And his defense looks a lot better as well this year, too. We still are leaving guys open on threes, ball watching, but I hope we fix it. But, as far as LaMelo, I think he did a really good job bouncing back, and I think that shows what kind of player he is becoming, because I don't feel like that's something he really done in the past. It's just – I don't think he was just very cognizant in the past of like, okay, I'm bad. I'm having a bad shooting night or things not going my way. I'm going to keep trying other stuff as opposed to, all right, let me actually just slow down. Let the game come to me. I'll take my shots when I'm open. Things like that. I think that shows maturity. I think that shows growth. That's something you're going to want from your franchise player in general and two, your point guard. So as far as like his game itself, it was okay. But I think that there's something deeper there with saying that some of the new small things in the game that don't show up in the stat sheet, I see progression in LaMelo's game. Next, we're going to talk about Terry Rozier, just because I want to talk about Terry Rozier. First, he started off 1-for-4, losing the ball. He was doing it way too much. He would try to split defenders. There was times, you know, coming off the ball, he just didn't look right. He just couldn't get planted. He was always moving when he shot. But I mean, as time went on, he started to hit his shots. When it started to matter most, when we were trying to come back down 11, when we were trying to come back down 8, because it kept fluctuating. We'll go down by 11, and then all of a sudden, you know, we cut the lead to 6, and it goes back up to 11. Terry was the guy in those moments to make the play. Now, it wasn't always him making a shot. It was sometimes just him making the right play. And I think that's what we need from Terry. And then the way he was moving off ball, like I said, in some places, it didn't seem like he was himself. Like I said, he was just taking a lot of like moving shots, which I guess that is more like Terry, but you could see where him off ball, it just opens up so much. There's a significant difference between the minutes where he's playing point guard, even though I think he was doing a really good job of like shaking Trae Young and getting to the basket. That was one time he like cooked Trae Young. I think Terry does a good job of like getting to the basket, but as far as like being the lead guard, being a point guard, it's just not his thing. But his game really opens up when he's off ball, when he's coming off screens, when he's running down the sideline, and they try to stop the ball, leave him in the corner. He hits those. So I think that, you know, him being allowed to be play off ball more is going to help him tremendously. I said on Twitter, it gave me like 2021 Charlotte Hornets vibes, where Terry was like one of the best off ball players in the league. And I mean, it showed tonight. And then, you know, some of his leadership as well. I think he did a really good job of guarding Trae Young. I know I saw that at the beginning of like right before the game, Steve Clifford said, hey, you know, we're going to put Terry kind of match Terry's minutes up with Trae Young, and I was like, it's a shame that we have to do this, and it still is a shame, because Terry Rozier, that's not his game. I think he's a smart defender, as Steve Clifford said. I think he's a good defender, as Steve Clifford said, but that's just not his thing. That's just not his role, is being the defender. But I think he did a great job tonight. Trae Young was getting some crazy calls, but I think for the most part Terry did a good job, so shout out to Terry on that. Gordon Hayward didn't have a great game. I mean, well, I think he did have a great game, but it's more so it didn't like pop out. But if you look, he was 10, 8, and 7. What I like about his game is that it was not a flashy game. We need that guy that's kind of like the glue guy. In certain situations, you bring him in, and he's just going to play basketball. You know, he's not going to make too many mistakes. He's going to try to make the right play. He looked smooth out there. I think he looked, you know, it was good to have him healthy this offseason. I know that was something big that was like, oh, you're healthy throughout the offseason, so you don't have to worry, not as much rehabilitation. And it showed. He just looked very comfortable out there, and I'm glad, especially considering he missed a few preseason games, and in the last preseason game he played in, I believe, we got destroyed by the Celtics. So it was good seeing him play. We're going to get a lot of that. We're going to get a lot of that from Gordon. That's what we're going to need. We're not going to need him to drop 20, hopefully. Hopefully, we don't need – we're not relying on Gordon Hayward to drop 20, drop, you know, 30. There will be times. I mean, I think he's still got all the talent there. But we don't need to rely on that kind of as we have in years past. I think this year it's just Gordon to go out there. When the lane is open for you, like when the shots are there, take them. But we don't need you to do anything extraordinary. Just continue to move the ball. Continue to be that guy to kind of hold the team together when LaMelo's getting double teamed at times, which he was in this game, or things like that. And I think Gordon Hayward did exactly that. And you can't replace it. My biggest thing about Gordon Hayward this whole time has been, one, the money. I think the money was too much. But two, his health. We have him on the court. It's last year of his deal, so the money don't kind of matter to me anymore. But I think he's holding it down. I think we really need that. So shout out to Gordon Hayward for doing what he did. PJ Washington, man, probably the player of the game just because all his points were just so clutch. It may not have been like, of course, all his points didn't come in the fourth quarter, but when I say clutch, but it was like, oh, man, if we don't make a basket here, we're down 15. If we don't make a basket here, we're down 7. And PJ would go down there and make a basket, you know. And a lot of it was from the two. He really operated very, very well in the mid-range. That's something he's added to this game. I think early in the second quarter, maybe late second quarter, second quarter in general, he had like this on the right-hand elbow. He basically just, I don't know who was guarding him, but he had like he was driving and he just did like a step back. That's not something I typically see from PJ. So PJ was just aggressive. He was physical. And I really just appreciated his game. I think that he, you know, he didn't force anything. There was times where he kind of forced up a shot. I know late he forced up a shot against Capella, but it went in. But that's just strength. You know, you do the work, you know, you're going to get rewarded. So I think PJ just did a good job of just finding his pocket and getting to the basket and just not having to dunk it all the time or not having it. You know what I mean? He took what was there. Like there was one time where Trae Young was there trying to guard him. He literally put all his might into knocking Trae Young on the ground and dunking it and then staring Trae Young down. We need that. We need that kind of like aggressive nature on our team. We really don't have it. And lastly, I want to, as far as starters, I want to talk about my boy, which this jersey came in like 20 minutes right before tip off. It got in my mailbox. So of course I had to go get it, unwrap it right before the game. It's a Mark Williams jersey, if you couldn't tell. Mark Williams just was fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. The only thing that kind of bothered me at times with Mark Williams, and it's, you know, he's learning, it's for first full year as a starter, is that sometimes he was playing a little high on Capella, but I promise you in the first half I was like, oh, he's playing a little high on Capella. Capella can't shoot. And he was hedging like more on Capella side. So I could understand like you're anticipating a screen and Trae Young going around it, but he was kind of up on Capella, not like playing the screen or not playing Trae Young. So I was like, ah, that's a little too high. And Trae Young didn't have a good game tonight as far as shooting the ball. So therefore, it didn't burn them. But by second half, that adjustment was made. I saw that, you know, if Mark Williams was playing high, it was playing high, anticipating the screen, anticipating Trae Young coming off that screen. If he was playing low, it was, okay, I'm playing low. I'm not expecting Clint Capella to take a shot. And I think that's good. That's good. I mean, obviously, he probably didn't make that adjustment himself. I mean, of course, that's what the coaches are there for. But overall, I think it was just a great job. His rebounding was good. He's a defensive anchor. I know how many blocks he had. One, he had a snatch block on Trae Young. Amazing. That was his only block of the game. But then he had three steals. So he's getting active in the paint, tipping the ball. I can't say enough about Mark Williams. I think the way he's just able to kind of stand there, he knows like, hey, I'm just putting my hands up and that's good enough. I'm going to, you know, force him into a bad shot for the most part. I think that Mark Williams just did a fantastic job there. So, he ended with what? He ended with 13 and 15. So 13 points, 15 rebounds, 3 steals, 1 block. Let's see, who else do I want to talk about? Brandon Miller. I was trying to save it, but everybody else can come after. Brandon Miller in the fourth quarter. So early on, he came in. I was like, oh, this is pretty early. He was the sixth man, if I'm not mistaken. I think he was the first person to come into the game. Brandon Miller came in early, hit a three, his first career shot. He looked a little passive at the beginning. He was kind of letting, you know, things play out. And that's fine. Sometimes, you know, you're going to want to see your second pick play like he's the second pick, which he did later in the game. But at first, he was a little passive. Also, don't want you to force it, so I completely understand. However, you know, I just, you know, that's just me. I just would like my second pick to be a little more aggressive, but also don't mess up the flow of the game. And I think that's what he was more focused on. And it worked. So, I mean, who am I to complain? But everything else, I think he looked smooth. He was getting some good rebounds. He was playing some good defense. I know at one time he got burned by Bogey just because of the fact that I think he just turned his back, if I'm not mistaken. I think he just turned his back. Trae Young dotted Bogey, and Bogey was able to hit a three. So that, you know, ball watching, everybody does it on his team. But other than that, I think Brandon Miller was exceptional just by everything he was doing, all the little things, especially the two threes. So there was a three, like he was like, what, he did like a step back in the corner, which was that I can't even put in words how clutch that three was, that step back. And he just looked so cool, calm, and collected. That's one thing that I've seen Brandon Miller do it at Alabama. I've seen him do it at Summer League. I've seen a little bit of it in the preseason, but he moves, and this sounds crazy. Let me land when I say this. He moves similar to Gordon Hayward, where it's just he knows kind of what his moves are. He knows what move he wants to go to. He's just very cool, calm, and collected. Even after he was hitting these huge threes in the late fourth quarter, he was just very cool, calm, and collected about it. There was just nothing. There was nothing there. You know what I mean? He's just so, you know, tuned into the game, so focused that, hey, I love it. I love that about him. I was just kind of, I wouldn't say worried, but it was something I was actually looking out for. But will he be able to take this into the regular season game? You know, will he get rattled? Well, and he didn't. He at the beginning of the game, he played really well. Then he struggled with some foul trouble. You know, Trae Young getting those foul calls and just other small little calls, nuanced calls that they were giving the Hawks. But that could have easily took him out the game. I mean, as far as just like him being like, oh, I'm not, I'm getting these crap calls and I'm not hitting because I think he missed like two, three that he made the first one. But then he comes into the fourth quarter in the clutchest moments of the game. One's a pull up from the top. And like I said, then he had a step back in the corner. So Brandon Miller, I love what I saw from him tonight. I think he's going to be an exceptional player. I will say that I did not agree with the decision to take him out in the late fourth. I get for the fact that you don't know if your rookie is ready for these kind of moments where it is like you're a bad trip to the free throw line away from the Hawks really being in this and could take the game away from you. I completely understand that. He was hot, though. He was hot. But I will say the game slowed down significantly. Hornishunter obviously run out of time. And then two, just all the fouling, to keep prolonging the game. So I get it to an extent. But Brandon Miller was hot. I mean, those two threes were just back to back. So I get it as far as the basketball standpoint, but I would like to see him kind of play in those minutes sometimes. Because one, eventually you got to. Two, I think that he was hot. I don't feel like you should take the hot hand out, especially when Terry kind of really wasn't hitting like that. But he was clutch, especially that clutch floater over Capella. But he wasn't really hitting like that at the time. Brandon Miller was really your only guy who, and I know it was only two shots, but he was the only guy at that time that was like, that's hit consecutively. So I get it, but I don't get it at the same time. So that's what I'll say on that. J.D. Thor, not really much. I did think he took a mid-range, and that was pretty good. And he had a three that was just wet, like from the, he was like the middle. So Good on him. Defense, I think, was pretty good as well. Nothing outstanding. It wasn't like he was locking anybody up, but he didn't really let anyone kind of get in his way, bother him or anything like that. So shouts out to J.T. Thor because he is progressing, man. He's progressing. And I know, you know, we're not seeing the stat sheet progress yet, but I'm telling you, you watch him, he's progressing. And I think he's going to be a very, very solid player for us. I think he was the first person to come in once PJ finally went out in the first. Nick Richards, I think he played a pretty good game as well. He didn't rebound as much as I would like him to. He finished, he had 7.4 rebounds, and I think he had a block. I'm pretty sure he had a block. Let's see. He did have a block. But my thing really was, he was good at keeping the ball alive. A lot, if you look at like a lot of the boards that happened during the Nick Richards minutes, it wasn't a lot of him, you know, bringing down the ball, but it was a lot of him keeping the ball alive. Mello, whoever you want to name, will come up and get the rebound. And I think we did a really good job of that, of rebounding as a team, because I think Mark also did a great job of just keeping the ball alive, because that's something with the Hawks I think you can take advantage of, because you're not, Trae Young's not going to get that many rebounds. And of course, you have DeJounte Murray, who I think, you know, is good, and he's going to get rebounds, and Sadiq Bey, Jalen Johnson, who both went off, Sadiq Bey and Jalen Johnson. But overall, I think if you're looking at team rebounding, I prefer what the Hornets do. And I think Nick Richards did an exceptional job of keeping it alive. Teo Maledon, and I think, yeah, that'll be it. That'll be it for everybody because Nick Smith Jr. came in for 1 minute. Teo Maledon, I liked his minutes. They were okay. I think he had a really good drive. I think that's good. His shot looks ugly. I don't remember it being that bad last year, but I don't know. I got to go back and look. But his shot was kind of ugly. It wasn't going in. But as far as like what he was doing on the floor, I think he was doing a good job of knowing when to attack, when not to attack, when to pass. He also was keeping kind of possessions alive. So I know I just talked about how Nick Richards and Mark Williams were kind of tipping up the ball on rebounds. I think if you go back and look, Teo Maledon did a good job of just keeping the possession alive. So when you think the possession was dead because Teo Maledon's trapped in the corner, he'll find a way to kind of work his way back to the rest of the team and then, you know, give it to LaMelo, kick it to some. So it's things, just small things like that. I think that's valuable, especially considering, you know, we do struggle without having a backup point guard. That is not what I want to see from my backup point guard. I would like to see a little more, but from what we needed tonight, and I think really in general what we need, He's keeping the ball alive. He's keeping the possession alive. He's still giving us chances. It's not like the ball goes to him and dies. Even if there's like 5-6 seconds left, he's going to try to find a way to make the best play. It just made it. He may not can always make that play. So that's kind of the caveat you take. But I'm willing to have a backup point guard who is always looking for the best play. You know, we're going to have to deal with the ups and downs of that. We're going to have to deal with sometimes he'll be able to get it off, sometimes not. But overall, I like that he was at least able to keep possessions alive, find the open guy. He has a good feel for the game, I feel like. It's just I wouldn't even really say the talent level. I think he's just not enough of a threat offensively to kind of open up his game. I think if he was a little more of an offensive threat, I think it would really open up his game because he is a good passer. He is a good rebounder. I think him being a threat, at least even at the three, and maybe never in develop some type of inside game, but even at the three, if he can get some kind of consistency there, I think it would allow him to do a lot more and get a lot more space. But I'm okay with it. I'm okay with it for now. Overall, I think we did a great job, man. I think we saw early on this team kind of fight back. That's something we kind of really didn't see last year. We've seen it in years past, but I really felt like in years past, we kind of gave teams the lead, gave teams the ball. And we were so talented, or the way our offense was ran was so dynamic and unique that it brought us back in the game. This game, I felt like this was a game they scrapped their ways to. And I wish I could convey that a little better, but I just felt like in years past, you have Miles, you have Melo, you have Kelly, you have PJ. These guys would get hot, right? And that would kind of, you know, spark the team. And then, boom, we're back. Even if we're down 20, boom, we're back. This is, you know, 2 years ago I'm talking. This tonight, it really felt like, no one really getting hot. We have guys hitting shots here and there, getting hot in the right moment. But we really scrapped our way to this win. This was a real team victory. All facets of the game had to be to a certain par for us to win this game. And they did that. They played at that level. They stayed their ground. They continued to just execute. It wasn't, you know, oh, I'm going to shoot us out of this. And I'm Kelly Oubre. And I randomly, you know, shot 8-for-12 from three. No, this was a scrappy game. This was a game they had to get physical, especially on those boards, especially with the foul. That was foul calling, which that's something I actually want to talk about real quick. One thing I wish that I saw tonight, there was a lot of and ones, a lot of and ones from our part. Hey, when we foul, we got to foul, man. We got to foul. It really killed us. I'm telling you, I'm going to go back and look, but we really got to go. We really got to stop the and ones. A lot of times the Hawks players were getting the ball out there, were getting fouled and scoring most of the time. So yeah, we really need to fix that. But yeah, this was a scrappy game. Great win. A great win by everybody. I think everybody played a significant role in this win. And I think Steve Clifford coached a heck of a game, man. I think he really did. The lineups were a little all over the place, but we're still trying to figure it out. And all things considered, with this being the first game, I don't think any lineup really jumped out at me. It was like, this lineup's just horrible. I don't think I had that. I do have to go back and look at the game. I always watch games twice. Unless we just lose too bad and it hurts. I'm not even going to lie to you. I don't rewatch those. But this one was a game I'm definitely going to go back on. I think, like I said, I think Steve Clifford coached a great game. That guy's played great. Let me know what you think down in the comment section below. I'm sorry this video was so long, but of course it's the first game of the season, so I had to go long. As far as the Hawks, because like I do want to incorporate talking about other teams. So sorry, Hawks fans, if you're here for whatever reason. Trae Young didn't have a good night. Did not have a good night. Capella, I think he did good for what he does. I mean, rebounding, finishing at the rim. He did both of those extremely well. Sadiq Bey had a heck of a game. He, you know, he was a guy that was getting the and ones. He was a guy that was kind of looking for the bucket. He was getting them. Jalen Johnson. I was kind of a fan of Jalen Johnson. I like how he plays basketball. But he went to Duke, so I can't really like him that much. But I think he did good. This is what I expected from Jalen Johnson, even when I think he was like excused from the team at Duke or some point or something like that. I expected this kind of performance. Man, he looks really good. So we, you know, with the Hawks, the Hornets are gonna have some, you know, some trouble on their hands, but you know, we can handle it. But overall, DeJounte Murray, I think he was okay. He at the beginning, like I said, he was hitting, which is crazy. I'm seeing now he was 3 for 14. So all the two of those three was like in the beginning of the game. I didn't realize he was playing that bad. Cause yeah, I will say after that, I didn't really recognize him. I didn't really hear anything from him. Hornets did a good job of making the other players score. Hawks did a good job of having those guys score. You know, if I'm a team and I told you that Trae Young was going to shoot 4 for 19 and 1 for 9 from three, you're like, oh yeah, they won that game. We couldn't stop Sadiq Bey. We really couldn't get a handle Capella like that. And a lot of it was just, you know, offensive rebound. He'll bring it in and go back up. So things like that. And then we couldn't stop Jalen Johnson, who was really scoring all kinds of ways. So I think that it was a good game. It was a good game by the Hawks, but I'm glad that the Hornets obviously pulled out the victory. But thanks so much for watching. Let me know what you thought of the game down below. Let me know if any content you want to see. Basketball is back, and I'm so happy. Thank you all for just kind of dealing with the regular season from me. You know, I try not to upload too much and not burn myself out for the season because I want to have a lot of content coming out in the season. And I'm not just going to do game recaps. So if you're interested in other things as well, make sure you go ahead and hit that subscribe button. Also, look out for the podcast. I'm actually going to put this episode on the podcast just because it'll make things a lot easier. But yeah, podcast coming. I'm going to start having guests. We're going to do like some film breakdowns on the channel. I'm just so excited, man. Hornets basketball is back.
I won't let my active psoriatic arthritis joint symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. Tremfya guselkumab is proven to significantly reduce joint pain, stiffness, and swelling in adults with active psoriatic arthritis. Some patients even reported less fatigue as assessed by survey 1 week prior. Results may vary. Tremfya is taken by injection 6 times a year after 2 starter doses at week 0 and 4.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Save big money on everything for your projects. Now at Menards. We have it all for garden and landscaping essentials. Visit our outdoor garden center today and update your backyard space. Grid accents lattice panels have a timeless design with an innovative design that's simple to install and requires almost no maintenance. Save big on lattice panel options at Menards. View our entire selection of garden center products today on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
From muddy jungle paths to snowy trails to rolling sand dunes, the 2024 Nissan Pathfinder is ready to take you to some of the most phenomenal destinations on Earth. In a Pathfinder, it's more than just the arrival. The real excitement comes from the ride to get there. With 7 drive modes, Pathfinder's available intelligent 4-wheel drive is built for some of the most epic journeys. So chase bigger, better, more exciting adventures in the 2024 Nissan Pathfinder. Intelligent 4-wheel drive cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist, you'll want to invite everyone over. From book club to reality TV watch parties, even the in-laws.
It smells. Amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is infused with 2 times more essential oil versus regular Airwick Essential Mist for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is perfectly portable and effortlessly easy. The way fragrance should be. Now that's a breath of fresh Airwick.